Hello.
Quiet, numbskulls. I'm broadcasting.
The stupidity of the world God chooses. Yes. One of my favorite songs of all time. This is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for joining me today. And you'll have to pardon me. I have a little cold today, and I'm sipping my tea here. I love green tea with a little honey. You got to have it. Have it often. Today, I would like to talk to you a little bit about some passages in Paul's letter to the Romans. And before I do, I want to read to you Romans chapter 1 in verse 16. Paul says, "For not ashamed am I of the evangel, for it is God's power for salvation to everyone who is believing, to the Jew first and to the Greek as well. For in it God's righteousness is being revealed out of faith for faith, according as it is written, now the just one by faith shall be living." Pardon me. I want to read you also now a comment by A.E. Nock, and this is what he says. "Oh, that we knew the sufficiency of Christ for everything. We are so anxious to pry men into the kingdom," and the word kingdom is in quotes, "that we invent various crowbars to get them in, all the while ignoring the great truth that the gospel is God's power for salvation." Isn't that a great line? I love the word painting there. Let me repeat what he says here. He says, "We are so anxious to pry men into the kingdom that we invent various crowbars to get them in, all the while ignoring that the great truth that the gospel is God's power for salvation." It's the gospel itself, friends, that is the power of God unto salvation, the message of Christ crucified, buried, and risen. Now he says this, "We preach on all sorts of topics from sanitation to sanctification." In other words, preachers love to talk about cleaning up your life or getting holy or, you know, living the sanctified life. And they're always tinkering with man himself. They're always dwelling on man and his ability. "When the gospel is concerning his son." You hear that? Preachers talk about sanitation, cleaning up your life. They talk about sanctification. Always talk about man doing this. When the gospel is concerning his son. The good news is not concerning yourself. It's not concerning how you clean up your life. It's not even concerning repentance. It's concerning God's son. In a word, we are trying to bring men to Christ. See? Today, the method is people are trying to bring men to Christ when God would have us bring Christ to men. That's true, the true evangelistic mentality, friends. You're not bringing men to Christ. I saw a video out talking about drawing men to Christ. No, sir, we don't do that. We don't bring men to Christ, but we would bring Christ to men. An evangelist brings Christ to men, and the evangelist does not tinker with man. He's not always talking about man and his ability or lack thereof, but he should be proclaiming Christ. A. Enoch continues. He says, "How grand it is to fall back upon God himself. He will see to it that everyone whom he has selected will be invited and justified and sanctified. And he does it in spite of all the stumbling blocks we put in the sinner's way. Some preach law outright, some regeneration, some the Spirit's work, some baptism, some repentance. But none of these are good news. Indeed, there is no good news apart from Christ." Again, pardon me, we don't edit on this program, so you'll hear my coughing. I want you to notice what he said. Some preach law, some regeneration, some the Spirit's work. That's a real deceptive thing today. Excuse me while I sip my tea. Some are preaching the Spirit's work. Well, that's not the gospel at all. We should never be talking about the Spirit's work to the unbelievers. Some baptism, some repentance, but none of these are good news. Indeed, there is no good news apart from Christ. Then he concludes by saying this, "Let it be our precious privilege to preach Christ crucified to those who know him not, and to those who know him, Christ glorified." You get that, friends? To those who don't know him, let us preach Christ crucified, and to those who do know him, let us preach Christ glorified. Let Christ be first, and Christ be last, and Christ fill all between. Let us not look back and vaunt ourselves with, in other words, let's not look back and brag about how we say, I prayed, I repented, I was baptized, and I did this, and I did that. He goes, no, let's not talk about that, but let us rather shout with the apostle, no longer I, but Christ. If I had a hand in my salvation, it must needs contain a flaw, for I find failure fills everything I do. But if Christ alone deserves the crown, then all like him is perfect and immutable. Friends, I want you to ponder this for a minute. Brother Knock here pointed out, if I had a hand in my salvation, it must needs contain a flaw, for I find failure fills everything I do. Men are always bragging about, some of you are out there listening to me, you actually believe that you're saved because you personally, of your own free will, made a decision for Jesus Christ that no one else did. And you actually believe that you acted apart from God. You were standing there all alone, and you made a wise decision for God, and you can brag that you chose God when these other fools didn't. Well, friends, even our faith is the gift of God. It's not of works. It's nothing we do. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 2, and we read this, for in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. What's not out of you? The salvation and the faith, the grace. It's in grace through faith are you saved, and this is not out of you. It is God's approach present, not of works, lest any should be boasting. And we're quoting from the Concordant Version. I want you to notice he says that it is God's approach present. Salvation is God's approach present. By the way, if you do not have a Concordant Version, you ought to get one because it is the most accurate Bible translation. Here it's making a distinguishing between words here. It doesn't just say gift. It says an approach present. This salvation is an approach present of God. What is an approach present? Well, if you read passages in the Old Testament, and you will see men trying to gain access into somebody like a presence of a king or somebody of high authority by bringing gifts to that person of high authority. Those gifts go before you and prepare the way so you can come after those gifts. It's a way of approaching somebody with dignity and honor with the gifts that go before you. Jacob did that towards Esau because he was afraid of him. Well, salvation is not us bringing a present to God. Salvation is God coming to us with a present to win our favor. Salvation is not us trying to win God's favor. That's the difference, friends, between religion and the Lord Jesus Christ and the sacred scriptures. Religion says man has to approach God with some present, whether those presents are his works. It doesn't matter what those works are. They could be saying a rosary, blowing up buildings, or sitting naked on a flagpole. It doesn't matter what the religion is. They all have some form of works. And by the way, isn't that interesting that even modern Christianity is pagan in origin because it teaches a work salvation just like all the other religions? Well, the sacred scriptures teach that God is coming to man with a gift. God provides salvation fully and freely, solely on the basis of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's God's approach present to us. He comes to us and wins our favor. Now, I want to turn real quick to Romans chapter 3, and I want to point out a few things. In the gospel, the good news, we call it the evangel, we read this. In Romans 3, verse 21, we say, yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest, being attested by the law and the prophets. Yet a righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith, for all and on all who are believing. For there is no distinction, for all sinned and are wanting of the glory of God, being justified gratuitously in his grace through the deliverance which is in Christ Jesus. Now notice how Paul starts off by saying, yet now apart from law. In other words, this message he's about to proclaim has nothing to do with man's works whatsoever, even following law of any kind, not just the law of Moses, but any system of works. God has eliminated in the fact in justification. In other words, for you and I to be justified, we have to eliminate every act of righteousness that we do. And so it says, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifest. First of all, we learn it's God's righteousness, and it is manifest. To manifest something means to bring it out to the open in our view. And then it says, yet a righteousness of God, notice it's God's righteousness, through Jesus Christ's faith. So, notice what you and I are doing here. We're doing absolutely nothing. It's a righteousness that's God's righteousness, and it's through Jesus Christ's faith. Jesus Christ's faith. The Lord Jesus Christ lived a perfect life. He believed God. He obeyed God and laid down his life on the cross of Calvary for us. It is his perfect life that gives the value to the blood he shed on Calvary. And as we'll see later on in Romans, the Lord Jesus, if he had lived a perfect life for 30 years and did not go to the cross and he went straight to heaven, without dying, he could have done that at any time because he was perfect. He knew no sin. He did no sin. In him there was no sin. And he could have went to heaven any time, but that would have done us no good. It's not his perfect life that saves us. But the value of that perfect life, that perfect life gives the value to his death on Calvary. And that's why it's through Jesus Christ's faith. We needed a perfect sacrifice. In the Old Testament, the offerings had to be without any blemish in order for them to be accepted by God. Well, we're going to stop there and pick this up again next time, but just point something out. One, it's God's righteousness, and two, it's through Jesus Christ's faith. If you have any questions, please feel free to get in contact with us at our website at crossandthrone.com. Again, that's crossandthrone.com. Get a copy of the Concordant Version, friends. We have copies available. You can call me at area code 847-312-4676. Again, 847-312-4676. If you get a Concordant Version and also the Concordant Commentary, you'll have more truth than if you spent 20 years in a seminary, and I'm not underestimating that. So please feel free to contact us. Again, our website, crossandthrone.com. Our number, 847-312-4676. I got to run. I hear the call. I hear the call, friends. Dr. Bynes, Dr. Allen.